My name is Hala Al-Afsa. I am 28 and I am one of the three co-founders of the Syrian Design Archive with my friend Kinda Ghannoum and Sally Al-Asafi.
Oh, me too.
We can continue
the conversation.
I happen to be in Kuala Lumpur and I'm very happy.
It's just like, it's very okay. Funny like for a Syrian and an Egyptian to like be in Kuala Lumpur. It's not a story that I have heard of.
Yes. I know what you mean. We're more like usually to meet on social media than like in
Truly.
In foreign countries.
Okay. Maybe you can tell us a bit about Syrian Design Archive and what you're trying to do.
Okay, so the Syrian Design Archive is a documentary initiative. It's mostly digital at the moment. We archive all the graphic design and typography found in Syria, and we try to republish this old data through new medium, which is like social media. We pick social media because of how fast the word, like the image, travels within social media, how like it reaches a lot of people that are interested in like design or research or Syrian heritage in general. So the Design Archive has actually five sectors. So we document like stamps, like Syrian stamp archive. And it's like individual on social media, individual accounts. There's Syrian Media Archive, Syrian Print Archive, and Syrian Type Archive. So they're all individual pages. And there's an individual page for Syrian Design Archive alone, where we post like the conferences and interviews and like features and publications and stuff. Yeah. So. Recently.
Yes, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But what happened or what triggered all of you to start this archive?
Yeah.
Okay, so actually there was kind of like in COVID, during COVID, like a wave of archives that popped on social media, and mostly like Arabic archive. Like people would take it as a hobby to document like signage, like when they walk down the street and they're like just old typography or lettering of like old artists. Like we all got nostalgic towards Arabic calligraphy and letterings all of a sudden. And I think it started from there. But then like my friend Kinda, the other co-founder, she was doing her master's in Belgium. And she wanted to do something that connected to the Arab identity. And because like most of her colleagues are doing Western things, so she wanted to do an Arabic typography kind of thesis, and she wanted to research about Syria and implement like Syrian graphic design or typography, but there was like a gap, she didn't find anything. So yeah, that's when like she decided, with the trend going on, she was like, why don't we start a Syrian design archive? And then we started, like, she contacted me and Sally, because she know, like, as designers, we have an eye for this thing. And Sally already, like, she was one of the people that liked, like, walking in the street and taking photos. And for me, I always, like, loved the graphic design, and always, like, my family has a very large library, which I always, like, read from and post from social media. So we all got together, and, like, we started really, really small. Like, the first thought was, let's book this, like, handle, the Instagram handle, you know,
friends.
Yes, so no one else can, like, if anyone thought about it, at least we have the handles ready.
Smart.
Yeah, and then, like, that's it, we set up an email, and we started, and we never expected where it would go, and we're actually, like, looking back at, like, 3.5 years, we went too far, there's a lot of things happening for us. The archive has been featured in a lot of other theses, which was like really seeing our vision come to life, because we wanted researchers, when they search about Syrian graphic design, to find data to work with. So yeah.
That's so cool.
I mean, that shows the gap in history that we have. And then like once you start to fill the gap, there's so much there's, because it's something that everyone needed, and that you've, because you just started, right, and everyone is coming to you at like
rushing
fast forward, and you're just kind of like, oh my god, I'm at this pace, but everyone is like, sometimes I feel like it shows how important it is, and that we need this. We need other kind of narratives when we talk about design, when we talk about typography.
Yeah, to be honest, like most like universities in Syria, when they teach like graphic design or any of kind of typography, they're the all, like the sources, the books, the designers, they set an example, are mostly Western, or European, and then that's why like we're very disconnected from our identities. We're always trying to be someone else, always trying to be someone else. And the thing is, like, because of the war, all the data is already very endangered.
Yeah.
It's either like bombed or burnt or flooded or and like the government doesn't really take action on that, because I think there's bigger issues at the moment. So we felt it's kind of our responsibility as designers also. I think it affects this very much, that we're like not people like out of the design industry. We look at things with more like appreciation, and we value the material more. We also like the most important thing, that there's a lot of material, but also even us, like the limitation is we don't know where to get the credits. Like we have a lot of beautiful designs still this day, we don't know who's the designer, where to get the information from, like because we either track down their families, or if they work in the television, we tried multiple times to speak to the like TV like industry and stuff, but most of the archives are actually like not available to the people.
Yeah.
They're like secret.
What is it for you that like you're looking for? Like, because the design world is so big, like, but what for you, like what is, you know, like your personal passion in like design that you're tracing in the Syrian history?
For me or for the archive?
For you. For you within the archive, obviously, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like for us in the archive, we're kind of trying hard to highlight that we existed, you know what I mean? Like in the graphic design world, we made the difference. We set a trend at some point. We set an example. Like it's not always have been like the myth of the European creator and savior, you know what I mean? Because all our narratives, I feel like most of the countries that are not like first class countries, I feel like, as Irina said, like the narratives are silenced, you can say, and they're like trying hard to diminish most of the narratives. So I think like the thing that's important to us is to prove that there is a narrative, and and it's like worth to look at and explore, because there's a lot of things, like even after the war, like they would try to convince you like certain like certain things didn't happen, but actually like just by looking at art or graphic design, you can know things have happened, because designers have created a response through visuals. So like, why would the designer create a poster for a protest if there was nothing to protest
for?
Yeah,
I was gonna say this, like, you know, cause like I remember for years and years, like I would use like, you know, like with this poster from a certain like protest where like Yaskut Kol Shay'. It was like down with everything, like, and I think it was from a very specific spot in Syria where like it was like the heart of the resistance. And I think in a way it just like it depends on like how such a simple photo that was really circulating all over Facebook, you know, for all the revolutionaries literally around the world to like say that this is coming from the heart of Syria right now, and it represents us politically. And I think there was something so always special about what is being produced in a protest, and it's just like it's not like trying to force something, it's literally just naturally felt, and you feel it in your heart, and like that this happened, it's just as simple as that.
I think like protest art is the most interesting art.
Because
like it's kind of advocating, but at the same time it's kind of non-violent, you know what I mean? kind of a bit of both. And also, like, the visuals, like you said, they relate to a lot of different scenarios in the same, like,
right.
MENA region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the culture is similar. The way people lead countries are very similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
there was
a
sense of humor in it. There was everything in, like, very, very difficult moments. Like, people are just, like, used everything, like, to
yeah.
say that we're alive and we're doing this. Yeah.
Do you also look at government posters?
We actually,
yeah,
like, the one from today or back then?
Or whatever that you're archiving.
We actually also archive it because we feel like as archivists, it's not our place to favor material.
Mm-hmm.
It's our place to just lay down and archive material, how it's falling down and at, like, historic timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I always say, like, when you map out the visual material, you can actually map out the history and ups and downs of revolutions
mm-hmm.
and, like, war and a lot of things. You know, it's like creating a visual map in front of you. It will allow you to see even, like, the patterns that is happening over and over again
mm-hmm.
in the country. And, yeah, we archive actually a lot of things. There's a library called Al-Assad Library
mm-hmm.
in Damascus. It's huge. And it has a lot of, like, ancient data, but we weren't allowed to scan any of it. We were allowed, like, to take pictures, but it's behind a lot of glass frames, so, like, the details aren't very visible. But yeah, I think, like, the country, like, any country that don't want you to know something will not allow you into their archive. And I think it's the fact that they have an archive, like, they know already that some narratives or some documents are important that may come up in the future and they'll have to use them. I don't know. I just, like, think about that a lot.
Mm.
Like, why won't you let people access it if it's not valuable to you? So what do you not want people to know? So that kind
it's
of...
It's literally,
like, yeah.
if a whole system is built
yeah.
on us not knowing.
Yeah.
Because, like specifically, you know, like, I think in like, this region, it's just, like the more we know, the more trouble that
yeah.
we are to them.
Yeah.
And we have given them enough
yeah.
trouble in, like, back then.
Uh-huh.
And I think, like, also what I hear of Syria, that, like, you said something about, like, they don't care about what is happening to, like, the artifacts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same happening also with museums, that,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
things are being looted and, like,
yeah.
I don't know, like, it's just, like,
it's
like,
trafficked.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's wild, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, when we see, like, I see a lot of, like, influencers or, like, people on social media, they're like, go to museums and they're like Egyptian or Syrian
yeah,
or
yeah.
something, and they, like, take a picture with their stuff from their country, but the museum is in, like, England or Europe, and they're like, oh, okay, here is where our heritage is going. And we always complain that we want to be decolonized and stuff,
sure.
but I feel like we're not taking enough, like, action. You know,
no, you are.
I am.
You are.
We
you
are.
As hella.
As a,
like,
as
that
a serious
yes.
designer, we are. But I feel people, like, just need to
and
step
also,
back and rethink.
And can I say that, like, mm-hmm. also our regimes are never gonna produce something as pretty as
I
this?
Know.
Like,
I know.
Wow.
That's why, actually, my friend.
It's so fucking cool.
My friend Kinda was like, do you have to check, like, security? Because, like, in Syria, if something is, like a file in your name, they won't let you enter the country.
God.
Or they'll just, like, jail you on spot. So she's like, can you run, like, a security, I don't know the term in English, but just, like a background check on your name, just see before entering,
right.
after we did this. Like, it has launched only, like, 2 months ago, but you never know who read it.
Yeah.
So we're, like, really scared.
Know what you mean.
Yeah. And we're always like, there's a lot of steps we're scared to take because our families are still there and we never know the consequences of something
yeah.
been like a certain sentence or a certain a fact or a certain thing that would just trigger someone to just.
And then Surya by your family's name, like you're known which city you're, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of names that are similar.
Yeah.
So if like my last name is like Afsa, for example, there's no other Afsa in the whole Syria. They know how to get you because there's no like, they're not gonna be lost. Yeah, you're very identifiable.
Yeah.
So we're trying. We're not traditional archivists. So like when we listen to talks or like meet people, like you guys, we always try to see how they're doing things. Like you said, like talk more about practices with each other. So yeah, we're just learning along the way.
I really love that there's this sort of like designer uprising happening in like Southeast Asia, in like the MENA region.
Yeah.
I just love it, like because like the designers are really, really, really realizing like the power that they have in trying to make change.
Yes.
But it's also living in fear, right? Like you
but
we're not just queer community or the marginalized community, like designer like you who are scared to enter into your homeland.
Yes.
Because you're doing the work that is, you know.
It's true. Because it's very like, there's a lot of limitations. There is actual dangers. Like if you read the like my texts, and there's a lot of stuff that happened that I've written. And they're just like certain encounters with like the government or the people or even like the business behind archiving, because most people, like we found a lot of like bookstores that would actually have very, very, very powerful and valuable material, but once they know like you're an archive, and we try to communicate with them like we're just an initiative, we're not an organization. Like, yeah, and they just start to just say numbers that we can't even begin to imagine of like the price of a document. Even for a scan, like someone, like this also is in a book, like someone wanted a $300 per scan, per page. Yeah, they just like, they think we made like thousands and we're kind of tricking them, and we're like, we swear we're not.
Which one is your text?
Yeah.
Which one?
Hmm?
Which one is your text?
So they're coded here.
Oh.
So these are like the colors of my text, and can that
so cool?
Sure. Yeah, we love this design by Susie.
So beautiful.
It's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, how long? Okay, how? When did you guys start the?
What the
archive?
Oh, the archive is like three. August 2020.
Okay, so it's about 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, four
years
old.
Yeah.
Wow, really amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really amazing.
I was telling her 3.5 years, I just realized it's really 4 years.
But also, how
years.
Cool is it that like, you have literally made something so cool out of being in Malaysia? And it takes, I feel like it really takes so much determination to, you know, like make a place like work for you.
I tried to meet a lot of people. At first I was like a bit set back because of the cultural differences,
right?
Because I needed, not like as Hala, I think anyone from like my region that come here everyone is so calm, you know,
it's
just
really
like
cool.
Arab energy is not here, right? So you need to kind of adapt.
What's the Arab energy?
Anxious energy.
Really?
Yeah, very like hyper.
Yeah,
like,
very hard. I think so. I feel like, I don't know, like, but I feel like, you know, whenever I have like, I think sometimes I exaggerate in my jokes, and Azrina, she's like, do you really mean to say, I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating.
I think it's like Arab energy is like overdoing everything.
We're overdoing.
I'm being loud.
Especially like in jokes, like, oh my god, we're so dramatic.
Yes, yes. And everyone here, you know, everyone I met, they're like, calm down.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah, it's me.
That's
just me. You know?
That's my culture, huh?
Yeah, everyone here is so peaceful and so calm. And I think it's very beautiful, actually.
Mm.
But also, everyone is open about their practice. Like, I never saw anyone here, like, gatekeep something. Which is something we have in the Arab world. Like, people that reach success, they will often not tell you how they did it. because they wanted still to be like the ones who stand out in their community. Like here, I was afraid to ask at first because I felt like it would be the same, but actually people are so friendly. Even like designers I have never met, but they are on my like Instagram account. I ask them about stuff and like the DMs, and they just are very, very happy to help.